Chapter 45. For a long while, Gavin lay bleeding on the floor of the yellow cell without even the courage to open his eyes. But he was a guile, and to him, a long while without doing something wasn't long. He'd already catalogued his own injuries. It was the curse of his family. He couldn't stop thinking or planning any more than he could stop breathing. He sat up. The injuries weren't bad. Well, ignoring for the moment the lost dog tooth, two stubs where fingers should be, and the gaping hole where an eye belonged. His cuts from falling were shallow, the bruises painful but not incapacitating, his jaw unbroken despite his father's punches. The weakness from the hunger was extreme, though. The first thing he saw was his own reflection. "You were a beautiful man once," it said. Of course, the dead man in yellow would be the perfect balance of logic and emotion, devastating him with each. Gavin ignored him for the moment and cast his eyes down. There was no corpse. Oh, thank God, Holland, there was no corpse. "You don't look well," the dead man said. "Does that make your work harder or easier?" Gavin asked him. "Tell me, oh man of guile, what's worse, madness unknowing or madness recognized?" "So... harder, huh?" Gavin said. What was this talk of madness? Maybe the yellow dead man thought Gavin was more gone than he was. Gavin tried to remember if hunger caused hallucinations. Perhaps it did. Perhaps that was why saints and ascetics starved themselves. They were seeking a path to enlightenment through the signals for help a body released when it was being destroyed. Gavin wasn't mad yet. He was too focused for that. His father had pulled the rug out from under him. Very well, point to Andros Guile. His father had humiliated him by pummeling him with his fists. Fine. Gavin was more than a match for the old spider. He would escape and he would rise. He was unstoppable, unmatchable, superlative. "Ah, Gavin Guile, surrounded with mirrors, and yet you refuse to see the simplest truths," the dead man said. "Dazen," Gavin said. "I'm Dazen Guile." "Indeed, and what happened to Gavin?" "Go to hell." "You seem not to have noticed," the dead man said. He gestured to the cell. "Here I am." "Or Hollum, I sure was a dick when I will cast these walls with dead men. I guess that was the point." It wasn't until Gavin moved to lap up some water that he saw the other wall of the cell. His blinded left side had faced toward that wall, and he'd been too addled from the fall and his hunger to fully examine this new hell. He saw the bullet holes scarring the wall from when he'd blown off his brother's head. His breath caught as the memory filled his mind's eye, as he lifted both Elysian flintlock pistols and shot Gavin dead. One bullet through the center of his chest, the other right through the chin. If either pistol had misfired, he'd still have had a quick death. "He was insane," Gavin said aloud. "Maybe he was already insane before he came down here, but in my worship of him, I never saw it. Or maybe his madness was my fault. I know I'd not last 16 years down here alone. Regardless, he was too far gone to be saved. It had to be done." "It was a mercy killing?" the dead man asked.
"Mercy too long delayed," Gavin said, "and that is my fault indeed."
"Is that what you tell yourself?" "Do you have a point?" Gavin asked. "Two." The dead man pointed across the cell toward those impact holes. Gavin stood with difficulty. He'd expected there to be blood spatter, or brain matter, or something similar for the dead man to torture him with. There was no gore. Apparently the water wash had worked well. Instead there were two simple holes, the squashed lead musket balls visible less than a thumb's thickness inside each, the outside of each hole in the splintered yellow luxin forming short cracks in the top layer of the cell wall. He'd made the yellow luxin wall of this cell thicker than his hand. The bullets hadn't even come close to fully piercing the wall. "First thing that might catch your attention," the dead man said, "is that there wasn't any ricochet. Solid yellow luxin, and no ricochet. But then, with the positions of your hands when you fired, each shot was perfectly perpendicular to the angle of the wall, so it is odd, but not impossible." At first, Gavin didn't understand. And then he did.
"No,"
he breathed. "This is a trick."
"No."
"Oh, so you've spotted the impossibility, have you?"
Gavin shuffled over to the wall. He stuck his pinky finger into one of the bullet holes and scratched, trying to dislodge the lead.
"What is that going to prove?"
the dead man asked. "This is not my bullet. It's impossible. He did this. My father."
"It's a trick." "What are you doing? Picking it out of the wall won't prove anything. I can see if it's one of my bullets," Gavin said.
Like many veterans, Gavin had cast his own bullets. One of the tricks he'd picked up in his many years of fighting whites had been to pour the lead around a core of hellstone. It penetrated Luxon like nothing else. Lead tore flesh catastrophically, but some whites layered themselves thickly enough with Luxon armor to stop lead. In Dazen's musket balls, the lead would tear away quickly, leaving a hellstone core that could pierce anything but thick, solid yellow Luxon. Few knew his trick, and of those who knew, fewer still could afford the hellstone necessary. In monetary terms, it was like shooting solid gold musket balls.
"Ah," the dead man said, "look at it at an angle. You used to draft bright water so pure a man could see through it."
It was a good idea. He put his face against the wall. There, a nugget of hellstone, a hand's thickness deep in the wall. Desperate, he went to the other bullet hole and saw the same. "Father could have shot balls from my own gun. He would have access to my ammo pouch, too."
"I told you it wouldn't solve anything," the dead man said. "But think, where the black Luxon hasn't corrupted you, your memory was once so perfect for a mortal. Can you remember which bullets you fired that night? Can the Gavin Guile of legend remember that?"
The problem with hellstone was how brittle it was. Sharper than any steel, but you couldn't carve with it. It fractured into bitter planes and hard curves and angles. It meant that when he was casting bullets, Gavin always had to make odd compromises. A star-shaped chunk of hellstone was what he always looked for. Its weight balanced, so it wouldn't put an odd spin on the musket ball, and small enough to fit within the lead, but large enough to retain momentum if it struck Luxon and lost its lead jacket. Most times he made do with rough squares, triangles, or diamonds. Every bullet was different because the hellstone crystals were always different. He'd always arranged them by reliability. Only the two bullets in his fine Elysian pistol's chambers had had the star-shaped hellstone cores. Even he wasn't so wealthy that he could demand perfection in every bullet. His ammo bag was always full of second-best musket balls. His father couldn't have known that. The first bit of hellstone, deep in the wall, was star-shaped. He checked. So was the second. Gavin sat back, baffled. His father wasn't this good, was he? Gavin had killed too many men to believe how his eyes and his memory were contradicting each other. He'd shot Gavin through the chest, a straight hole through his bony sternum. The other bullet had smashed through his chin and blew out the back of his head. Lead squished on impact. It mushroomed, spun, tore gashes through flesh and bone. It was possible for the hellstone cores of his bullets to have pierced his brother and still hit the wall, but unlikely. There wasn't enough velocity left in the hellstone for this depth of impact, not unusually, not through two layers of bone. And for the lead itself to have survived intact, to hit the wall as well, that couldn't happen. These musket balls were his own. These were the musket balls that had been in his pistols that night. He couldn't deny that. But these musket balls hadn't torn through a body, much less bone, before hitting the wall. Impossible. Gavin couldn't be alive. Dazen hadn't missed. Couldn't have. But that was the only possible answer, wasn't it? Did his father know even Dazen's musket ball casting method? It was possible, but why?
"Oh, my dear Black Prism," the dead man said, "you can't say you weren't warned. So tragic. And the perfect guile memory is such a special thing, is it not? You did this to yourself. You knew the risks, but you couldn't help but draft black, could you? Black, the color of... say it."
Gavin's mind went many places at once. He was standing on the beach with the third eye. He was standing in the hot, smoking ruins of Sundered Rock. He was standing in front of his mother after returning from the war, with his brother unconscious in a trunk right behind him, telling her, no, he was dead. He didn't suffer.
"Say it," the dead man said.
Gavin said, "Black is the color of oblivion. Black is the color of death. Black is the color of..." "You didn't spare Gavin out of pity," the third eye had said to him, and then she said, "Does the man who killed his brother expect the truth to be easy?" He'd interpreted her words to be wry. He'd thought there must have been a little stress he missed in the moment. Does the man who killed his brother expect the truth to be easy? But there had been no wink, or smile, or nudge, had there? She had known how he would take those words at the moment, hadn't she? But she had also known that he would later remember those words. That was why she had been so very precise, so that without her lying to him, he could continue to delude himself until it was time to stop deluding himself. "Tell me," the dead man said, "when did your nightmares about your brother stop?"
"Around the time I killed him."
"No, Dazen, that's when they began."
"No, impossible. The dreams about his brothers escaping his prisons had begun right after the war ended, right after Sundered Rock. They had stopped only recently."
"Because," the dead man said, as if leading a very stupid pupil to an obvious truth, "because black is the colour
of madness,"
Gavin said hollowly. "Dazen, Gavin has been dead 17 years. He was never imprisoned. You killed him at Sundered Rock."
That's not,
Gavin felt suddenly lightheaded. The tightness in his chest returned. He fell to the floor. "All your contortions and striving have been to hide a man who wasn't there. Did you think it was a coincidence that as you lost blue, you dreamed of him breaking out of your blue prison? That as you lost green, he broke out of green in your dreams? The black Lux in Hell you brought to Earth at Sundered Rock killed one man. But it destroyed two. You remember the bowl in the blue prison? And the cloth woven of human hair?"
Gavin remembered.
"How would you remember that? He never told you about it. He hid it from you.
I must have discovered them when I went through that cell.
Where was it when you were in the blue cell just weeks ago?
It must have been repaired.
Your father bothered to repair a slight depression in Luxin more than a foot thick, and reset the trap door?
And he repaired the green chamber, and somehow he didn't repair your trap in your work chamber where the rope didn't burn properly?
And he cast new musket balls, all to make you think, now, after all this, that you're mad? Does that sound like your father's work? Gavin was never here. It was always you. It was always only you. And if I couldn't know any of that stuff about him, how could you? I know these cells aren't connected. I know it's will castings that I did. How could you know any of this?" Gavin asked.
"We know, Dazen, because you came down and raved to us, told us why it had to be this way.
I, for one, always figured that the truth was you made this prison for yourself. Surrounded by problems too big for you, you made a problem small enough for you to handle." Dazen felt the tightness increasing in his chest. He remembered, as in a dream, coming down here that fateful night. He opened the yellow chamber and thought of closing himself inside. He argued with himself aloud, but there was no one here but his reflection, his own image, crafted so carefully to look like a dead man, his brother. The dead man laughed. "Come on, think of it. Did you really think that after Sundered Rock you were able to stuff your brother in a box and keep him alive, but drugged for the whole journey home, and bring him into the Chromeria, and no one ever noticed? You had a box that you wouldn't let the servants touch. Do you think they wouldn't tell your father and mother about such a thing? Do you think your father and mother didn't break into it immediately?" There had been a chest. He opened it in his memory, and this time, overlaid on the phantasmal image of his brother unconscious, he could finally see the truth. Inside the chest had been a spear of living black Luxin. Black Luxin he'd drafted himself. It was the implement he'd drafted in those last desperate moments at Sundered Rock, the weapon with which he'd killed his brother, beautiful and terrible as the night sky devouring itself unto eternity. He'd carved the cells out of the Chromeria's heart with that spear, cutting through rock and the old bones of buried drafters and the Luxin encased in their bodies with equal ease, until it too had failed and broken apart into 10,000 pieces of hellstone. The 10,000 pieces that he had then used in crafting the tunnels themselves. How else could he have stolen such a kingdom's fortune's worth of hellstone without his father's noticing? But what would his mother have done if she'd found that spear straight from hell in his belongings, still smeared with his brother's blood? She would have wept, and prayed, and waited, and hoped
that her last son would come back from his madness. She would have been gentle and patient and protective, as she had. And his father would have been scared and distant and angry and watchful and intrigued and enraged and uncertain, as he had. Dazen had thought he'd been so clever. He thought he'd fooled the people closest to him. In reality, they'd played along, pretending to be deceived because they had no other options, no other sons, because in their own ways they both still needed him. His mother needed him to keep her own hopes alive, and his father needed him in order to rule through him. It didn't take everything, though, did it? The dead man asked. Despite the black Luxin, you knew certain truths, or perhaps only certain hungers. You had to kill to keep drafting. You knew it would all fail eventually. That's why you had the nightmares, the attacks of panic. You knew that you were shameful, that you were a murderer, and everything you did to atone for your sins was a pile of glass baubles, next to the mountain of shit that you built higher every year to keep yourself in power, to stay alive. You thought you were so clever. You thought yourself nigh unto a god, when in reality you were propped up by those who feared and hated you as much by those who loved you. And even that one love was tainted with fear and despair. You're wrong, Gavin said. You know I'm not. No, you're wrong about one thing, Gavin said, and perhaps one thing only. Pray tell. My father didn't know. There's no way my father has known all this time. He could never let anyone think they were fooling him. It isn't in him to play along.
Oh, a voice said. I think you'd be surprised at what is in me, son.
Gavin hadn't noticed the chamber moving, hadn't heard the slot open. He felt nerveless, sliding against the unforgiving Luxin wall to the ground. Not him. Not now. Please. No, God.
I came to see if you'd grasped the truth yet, Andros Gael said, and I find you ranting to a wall.
The dead man laughed, but Andros Gael didn't hear it.
I want you to know, boy, I came down here just now seriously considering putting you back in power. Your brother's son Zymon is a worm who will become a terror if I let him survive. Kip is fled and too sensible to return soon, if ever. The Colour Prince, he now calls himself the White King, is grown more powerful than we could have imagined. You are needed at this hour, Dazen. Not all of your power was magical, though you refused to see that. Not all of your leadership was based on light, though you are blind to that. But you've gone only ever deeper into madness. Perhaps this is my fault. Perhaps I left you down here too long, but you're mad now. And that I cannot change.
It can't be true, Gavin said. I wouldn't do all this for no reason.
Couldn't, wouldn't, Andros scoffed. You're dead.
It was a death sentence.
This is your work, all of it. Once I knew to look for it, it was obvious. Brute force drafting even where it was elegant. Always using lots of Luxin even where a little would serve as well. No aesthetic except that bigger was always better and strongest was best.
This is all lies.
I won't leave you here, though. Lest all of this madness is an act, meant to lull me into a false confidence that you're broken. Your cunning is without peer. You've doubtless put in an escape hatch of some sort. So, one last game, where the stakes are light. Every day I will send down two loaves. One will be poisoned. You can try to figure out which, if it pleases you. Eventually you'll fail, and when you're unconscious, you'll be moved somewhere more secure, somewhere terminal. Or you can attempt to figure out where the drug is in each loaf and hoard a stash of it, and take it all at once to kill yourself. That would solve a lot of problems for both of us. But you've never been interested in solving problems for me, have you?
I hate you, Gavin said. Andros stared at him with inscrutable eyes for a long time.
I know. And it's too bad, because I have only ever loved you, Dazen.